Session number 9956.
Michael Owen, Real 8. Do you think you were properly covered against this counter-attack air attack that came after the landing?
No, I don't. We, of course, had Oerlikon guns, but as far as the ship itself was concerned, certainly not. And the destroyer escort, we were not covered. I think there was an aircraft carrier may have been coming up from the south, but I'm certain we were not properly covered, yes. No, no, no. And they had success, of course.
Now, you mentioned that this was where you met the chap who introduced you to the midget submarines. What could you take us through that conversation? Or
yes, he, this lieutenant, RN, had been off the beach from in a foul boat from a submarine. I can't remember the name of the submarine, but he had been doing a reconnaissance of the beaches and also seeing where there were mines, and was reporting back to the headquarters as to the condition of the beaches for landing. And he was picked up by somebody and brought to the Marnixvansen Aldegonde to go back to Oran. And he asked me during this bombing whether where had I lived before the war. I said France, and asked me would I be interested in this foreboding reconnaissance business. And I said, yes, would I have any objection to going to submarines? No. And that was really the gist of the conversation.
This foreboding?
Foreboding was canoeing. You've seen the pictures of the... You know the raid, for example, on Bordeaux, which Hasler did. You know that. Well, this what happened, of course, was that you were in these submarines and the canoes were taken out and they went ashore, and then they came, did the job of reconnaissance of the beach as to the suitability for landing, and then came back to the submarine.
What made you take this proposition seriously? What was it? Were you not happy with what you were doing? Or
well,
did
it was
this
a
seem
challenge, even... really. I mean, I don't know, as a youth, I suppose that one, it was a challenge to do a little more, perhaps. I didn't want to go back into large battleships or be a non-entity. And after all, I'd been in combined operations. It was an extension.
You didn't know what it would be for. You didn't realise that Overlord or the
no
Normandy
way.
Invasions were coming up.
No, no way. It could have been to have had to have gone out to the Far East, for example. And indeed, there could have been a further invasion or assault further north, as there was in Anzio. So it didn't occur to me, except that he did say, did I speak French? And obviously it was going to be something to do with the invasion for reconnaissance. So I said yes, not really believing that anything further would happen. But as it did subsequently.
Well, we'll come to that later, but what happened next immediately after you went back to Iran?
Well, I must say this, that American, OC troops, the colonel, who was a fine old man, whom I told you manned them, he did man the guns, the Oerlikon guns, in the raid. He was an incredibly brave man. At breakfast, he stated in quite a posh voice that... he'd broken three monocles during the night. Well, I mean, he was a great man. I always admired him tremendously. We returned to Oran. It wasn't Mesokebia or Oran. I think it was Oran. And our man, our sailor, died on the way. Well, the Dutch do not allow their dead to be buried at sea. We wanted him buried at sea, but they wouldn't allow it. So when we arrived, I suddenly found... on the quay, a lot of sacks and a lot of American soldiers. And I was quite disturbed to find that these were, in fact, the dead who had been taken from the beaches, put into the American ships, and that just like, I suppose, rubbish, they were pushed callously on the side of the quay. They were bringing them in landing craft from the American fleet. So we gave a very proper naval funeral to our rating. I had our chaps properly dressed, and of course the Americans stood to attention and saluted, which impressed me very much indeed. After the funeral, I went to the hospital because I heard that there was a sub-lieutenant, RNVR, who had been wounded. And I saw him. He'd lost a leg, a sub-lieutenant RNVR, and he'd been in an LCS in Salerno from, I think, probably the Duchess of Bedford. And he had had a direct hit. Don't forget, I went in at H plus 60 minutes. I think he would have been in at H plus 4 or 5 minutes. He received a direct hit. He lost a lot of his crew, and he was in there. And, of course, he was. I remember he was very proud to show me his Purple Heart, which the Americans had given him. And so I then returned to the Durban Castle, where I got absolute hell from my flotilla officer, equivalent rank, lieutenant, who was most jealous that I'd been away as a stowaway in an operation and he hadn't. I gave him a report as to the conduct of two of my ratings, Corporal Hampton and leading seaman Newport, and recommended that they should be given awards. In effect, nothing happened when the Salerno honours came out, and it took quite a job to get them DSMs, which they both got.
What were you in particular recommending them for? I mean, well, what
yes,
was the act?
Good point. They had gone in, as I told you, and rescued these American soldiers inside the LCM when it was burning.
Where you had to
under
leave
fire,
one.
Where we had to leave one. They had gone in on that occasion. Corporal Hampton had fired the machine gun against the German machine gun position, and leading seaman Newport had looked after the engine and had also suggested and helped the patching up of the LCS during the operation. But I must say this, that the report went in to the Durban Castle CO, and I read books on Salerno. There was no recognition whatsoever of the action that we took, because I'm quite certain that we opened the beach, Yellow Beach, by destroying that machine gun position. But it was completely and totally ignored. It's past history, but it was ignored.
Now, just one point I should have asked in the last reel, but at one point you were about to lead a bayonet charge against
yes.
that. Now, what made it, because there were presumably plenty of troops around too.
No, that's not so. The on the right, putting the machine gun position slightly to our starboard bow, the beach to the right was totally, you couldn't get in because the machine gun commanded it. And there were no soldiers other than this, I think they called it RCT, it was a gun unit that I told
the Buffalo,
in the Buffalo, engineers or equivalent. There were no infantry at that time behind or anywhere near us. And I told this man to go in at the safe part to my left and inflate behind the machine gun position. And so it was probably a stupid thing to do. But
they didn't.
They didn't do so. No, they were. I think they were machine gunned as well.
What made you think of a bayonet attack as opposed
as
to
direct...
using your normal armament?
Well, our normal armament at the time, that is to say, we hadn't used the smoke screen up to that stage. We'd used the 20.5 machine gun, and the normal had been ineffective, completely ineffective, and it was absolute bravado. We had Royal Marines who were trained, and it was sort of a glorified act, which fortunately, when fired at, we abandoned.
Do you think you were thinking clearly at the time? Did you, or did you realise the consequences of this?
No, I think I was clear because I was determined that machine gun position should be knocked out. But when being fired at with a four-barreled, it's a very frightening, very, very frightening experience, and it was obvious that we would never achieve our objective.
You never actually got out of the boat, then?
No, we were within feet, fortunately, of touching down. And in my opinion, if they'd fired a fraction earlier, because we were underneath the machine gun, if you like, they couldn't depress lower. But if they'd fired earlier, they'd have really done the damage. So
they couldn't have depressed to cover the beach then? Or?
They couldn't depress further from, because we were so close. We were on the left-hand side. Whether they had an obstruction there, they could inflate the right-hand side. Indeed, the pictures that I have, which you've seen, show that these troops that did attacked from the right-hand side, and they were mown down. You've seen the photographs of this. But that was bravado, and it was a stupid thing to do, but we achieved the objective in the end.
Did you resent not getting any sort of a medal?
Well, to be quite honest, yes. Any recognition, very much so, because I don't think that... Well, I was a stowaway. I was not supposed to have been there. My commanding officer was very annoyed that I had abandoned his ship, so to speak, and... Well, at least I got two DSMs from my own crew. But I was extremely hurt by the thing. He knew the facts. The chief of staff that to the American, what's his name, Samuel Chase, should have been aware. But whether the fellow had sent the report to the Americans or not, I don't know. Yes, I was annoyed because I reckoned that it was a good job well done. Whether the sub-lieutenant who was knocked out, whether he got anything from the British authorities, I don't know. But I put forward, after the awards for Salerno came out, I saw this CO again, and I said, look here, these people must receive something. And it was only, I think, just before D-Day Normandy that he put it forward, and they did get something. I have the Admiralty Fleet Order somewhere in my baggage here, which states that these two people for determination and courage in Salerno got the award.
Now, you didn't actually, when you first met the Americans, which is quite a time before that, you hadn't got on very well, you didn't salute.
No, that's right.
You had a resentment against them. Could you take me through how your feelings changed, if they did change, towards the Americans?
Oh, it did, because of, without any doubt. My resentment, of course, was because I'd had 2 years of war, and they'd kept out of it. They didn't come in to support us when I believe they should have done. But my admiration for them was when Colonel Darby, Bill Darby, came into the North African campaign, and he was absolutely superb.
But his were elite troops. They were, in effect, commandos. That's right. What about, you said some fairly scathing things about some of the troops involved on the assault. You said they weren't trained.
They were trained in Texas, the 36th Texas Division, which I refer to. They hadn't been in action before anywhere. And I suppose you could say that with the surrender of Italy, that we were all of the opinion that we would be in Naples the following day. There would be no resistance. And I suppose that they became careless as a result. I didn't like the way, as I said before, in which the American Navy circles before going into the assault. They waste the advantage of time. The Texas lost a lot of casualties, which they should not have done if they'd been more disciplined, perhaps. I know that when the Durban Castle went back to Salerno and was there, 5 or 6 days later, in my memoirs, in what I've written, that they were much better disciplined troops that we took back to Salerno.
How had you got on with the American officers you met?
Very
well.
You
liked the Rangers commander. What about the others?
I liked them very much when I got to know them. Of course, I got to know the Rangers because I was at sea with them. The naval officers, I mean, they were superb in Samuel Chase. Oh, yes, buddy, you can, sir, go. We have no objection. He was the chair. We have no objection. We'll find you a ship where we can put your craft into. Yes, we come along. And they were great. I liked the officers as well, and men. Yes.
Were there any cultural differences that were apparent between you and them?
In what way?
Their behaviour and the sort of behaviour that you were expecting.
Yes. I mean, they're not necessarily culture, but I always laughed the way they used to march and say, yip, yip, one, two, three, and sing. I mean, it was a bit of a buffoonry. not like the sort of sergeant major or master at arms who would really keep our people up to the line. And there were Poles, there were Japanese, there were all sorts.
So, now you went back to Iran and you buried your friend and you were about to... You then came back with the Durban Castle.
Yes, came back to the Durban Castle where I've told you that there was a bit of a jealousy from with the fact that I had been away. The Durban Castle filled up with troops and we went back to the... back to Salerno. And it was there, I think probably, six, 7 days after the original assault. And even then, there was trouble because the Germans were not so far away. They hadn't gone into Naples. They defended the place, and there could still have been attacks. And it was then that this biscuit tin event took place because an LCT came alongside and asked could they have some potatoes. They'd been operating off there for some time, of course, and they were short of food. So we gave them some potatoes, and I asked for their if they could give us anything, and they gave us a box of biscuit tins. I thought it was K-rations, but I think it's biscuit tins. Fine biscuits they had. And on the top of one of the tins, there were 24 tins, was this amazing sight of imprinted Salerno. I don't think it mentioned the date, but I have the top here, as you can see.
I see it's imprinted with a stamp of Salerno 18-42-CB, I think.
Yes. Well, what do you think of that for security? It's quite incredible, because the Salerno operation was only sort of put into effect, I think, about 3 months before, after Sicily. But that is quite incredible to me. I don't understand it at all, so much for security. But to go on, as to what happened in Salerno, in my opinion, and the opinion of most people, there are three factors which saved it. One, without any doubt, was the naval bombardment, American and British, because without that they would have been totally lost. There was a lack of air cover, as you well know. Two, I think that the guards did a fantastic job up in the north at Salerno itself. And three, Alexander took overall command. Mark Clark had even, I believe, given orders or was preparing for an evacuation on the south at Piastin, where we were, to move troops to the north. Alexander countermanded this, and those three factors, in my view, saved Salerno.
How much of that would you know at the time?
Nothing, other than the desperation. I mean, we knew something was wrong when I was on the beach there. I mean, I knew personally when I was on the beach being bloody well shelled. I thought the Americans were, at least 2 miles away, and they weren't. There was a matter of yards between us and the Germans. So I knew that. I'd never been shelled.
What were conditions like? Did you go back to the beach again?
Yes, we took troops in, and there was the Germans by then, I must say, were probably about 4 miles away, and there was order, there was no shelling, and there was no action.
How was the beach being organised? I'm quite curious.
Beach exits. They had hards, what they call hards. You had LSTs coming in with big ships with a lot of tanks. And these beach exits were well organized. Beach masters were looking after that. And generally speaking, taped, very efficient.
Had they built any sort of landing arrangements?
Yes, you had this, I can't remember, this was steel structure. There was a word for it. These steel strips that they put down on the beach. There was a word for it. Gosh, my memory. These steel strips enabled tanks of all kinds to, and also, of course, lorries and the like, they were called hards, to get off the beach. But, of course, you didn't have those in the original assault.
What about stores and things? Were they being unloaded onto the beach?
Oh, yes.
And where were they?
Well, they would be based inland. I wouldn't know, but they would be based inland because the Germans were, four or five. Mind you, these hills were overlooking these mountains were overlooking Salerno. It was terribly dangerous territory to land on, as against Anzio, which is flat. I didn't go to Anzio, but it was flat.
What else were you doing while you were at Salerno in this period immediately?
Only just ferrying troops. From my angle, there was no action, so my LCS was never put into the sea. There was no call for it. It was just a question of ferrying troops as much as one could with the flotilla. And for me, it was a jolly in a way.
Would you help? Would you go on the landing craft?
Oh, yes, but there was no danger. I mean, it was just taking them in, rushing the troops in. So there was no danger. But at the Durban Castle, in the second time we went there, we took a lot of nurses, I remember that. A lot of nurses. There weren't any nurses in the initial assault, but we took a lot of nurses back there. And then we went back to Oran, and we went into Naples on the third trip, and that was the port of Pozzuoli, which is close to Naples, and there was very good troops there. I remember that, mentioning it at the time. There was absolute chaos in Pozzuoli. The cranes were blown up, a lot of seaplanes were blown up, and it was about the time that the post office in Naples was blown up, which you probably remember was in Ghastly. Well, it was a terrible, terrible, awful thing which they did. They put delayed action mines into the post office in Naples, and they evacuated the city, which of course they had to, and up to the Gothic line. I think it wasn't the Gothic line, yes. And then two or three days later, probably more than that, a lot of people were in the post office, and it blew up with terrible, terrible loss of life. So, you know, they were dirty in that respect. I think so, at any rate. But that was really the end of the Salerno event. Not much more to...
Did you manage to repair your relationship with your fellow lieutenant and with your...
Oh, in due course, I suppose so, yes. But there was always a feeling between us of... And the senior naval officer in the Durban Castle, to whom I reported, he was an RN officer and an ex-submariner, actually. He got command of a ship, and I was in constant communication with him about these two DSMs, and unfortunately, he was blown up and lost his life in this ship. It was a frigate in the Irish Sea. He was torpedoed and lost his life. So there again, there was no help on that one. But the flotilla officer, oh yes, we made it up. I mean, you can't have any material all your life, certainly. But the Durban Castle then sailed, I would think, November to Augusta in Sicily to pick up the 51st, or was it the 50th? I can't remember. It could have been the 50th division. And they had been told...
Is that the one with the Durhams in?
Yes, the Tyntees. Yes, Tyntees. And they and may have been 231 Brigade, but at any rate, there would be 2,000 to 3,000 men. And Montgomery had got them round together and had told them, in his typical fashion, that, good news for you, you're all going back home on leave. And one of the DLI sergeants, this is true, it happened, well-known story, yelled out, yes, I, another fucking landing. And this, of course, annoyed Montgomery, and he was demoted at the time. But that was true, they were coming back to be pushed into the initial assault on Normandy. So we came back to Gerak, where we had a wonderful welcome. And I remember I had a mass of fruit from Sicily, which I'd collected, which was also very welcome. But we had a very, very fine reception.
Was it on this visit to Sicily that you picked up the helmet you presented to the Durham Light Infantry Museum?
Yes. We were in Augusta. And I think it was an army unit, said, would we like to, pardon me, go to Catania for the day? And so we had the trip up in a hundredweight vehicle up to Catania, and we really saw what the battle was like, what the 50 Div had done. And we got to the Premisola Bridge, where this terrible battle took place, and I picked up this helmet then. And, of course, the Catania airfield was in a terrible state, crashed aircraft. And then we had lunch in the officers' mess in Catania, and it was the practice, I must admit to defaulting in this respect, to pinch the cutlery. I only took one spoon, no, one knife, and it had the Nazi, very fine, rust-free knife, the Nazi insignia on it, and I think they'd run short of... It used to be the German officers' mess. So
after you'd been to Sicily...
We came back. As I say, we had a wonderful reception, and we were went on leave from there. And that was when... Now, that would have been in November, I would imagine.
When you'd seen this gathering with the... Had you actually seen the gathering where Montgomery and the...
No, this was what I was told.
That was the story current at the time.
Yeah.
I thought I'd better clear that
up. Oh, yes, no, absolutely right. No, this was told on board. I mean, this was a laugh. They all knew that this was for the invasion, and Montgomery was bullshitting and saying that it was, good news for you chaps, you're going on leave.
On the journey back, you took the Durhams and some other regiments. What
great
was
fun.
The spirit amongst the troops?
Oh, great fun to get back home. I think we called. In fact, I'm sure we did. We called at Algiers, and the most extraordinary thing happened. One of the officers wasn't at ELI. He couldn't bear going back home because his wife had gone off with another man, and he wanted to go back to Italy. I remember him coming out of the, going back to Italy. But very, very, very friendly. And, of course, you had the Lily Marlene tune, and, we became great friends with the 8th Army.
During your leave, did you think any more about this provisional offer question about the midget submarines? Or
no.
Was that at the back of your mind at all?
No, I'd completely forgotten about it. It was... Completely out of the blue, that I was called to Combined Operation Headquarters in London, Whitehall would it be, and asked to see Commander Wade. And in fact, my brother, who was on leave at the time, the last time I saw him, he was a flight lieutenant in Pathfinder, and he was killed shortly afterwards. Well, he was killed in 1944. Well, Commander Wade, in Combined Ops HQ, asked me if I had any objection to going in submarines. And I said no. And then he shocked me by asking if I would be prepared to work in X-craft, which I didn't know what that meant, and he referred to midget submarines. Well, I'd volunteered for large submarines. I couldn't get out of it. I mean, I'd have appeared as a coward if I'd said no. So I said yes.
Well, large submarines, taking that first, was that an unpopular thing that you had to volunteer for, or...?
Oh, no, I think that you volunteer. If you didn't want to go away in the submarine, you didn't go. Except that I do know that in the RN, if you were appointed to a submarine, you had to go, unless you could prove you had definite claustrophobia. But as far as volunteer, no, this was a volunteer.
And you hadn't heard anything about these X-craft at all?
No, I'd heard nothing. In fact, nobody knew anything about bits of submarines out of this world.